Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Friday, everybody. Great to be with you. And it's one of those weekends where, for me, it's going to be a lot of fun. I have a game tonight, a game tomorrow, and a game Sunday. I look forward to these weekends very, very much because I think all of you know how much I enjoy announcing games. Love doing the show, enjoy doing games very, very much. And Penn State will open its men's basketball season tonight with Morgan State at the Jordan Center. 7 o'clock, the tip-off. Airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK is set for 6:30 this evening. Football tomorrow. Nittany Lions and Temple at Beaver Stadium. Noon the kickoff. Dietz and Watson tailgate show gets rolling at 10:30. And then we're back on Sunday. Penn State and Fordham at the Bryce Jordan Center. That'll be a 5 o'clock tip-off and a 4:30 airtime. Today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Stock up for the weekend. It's going to be cold. I mean, it's 34 today for a high. 34. Tomorrow's only going to be 36. Do you really want to go out? No. You want to get into the cave and say to yourself, okay, where are the games? I'll listen to them on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I'll watch the other games as well. The NFL, of course, on Sunday. You need to be fully stocked. So how do you stock up for the weekend? Number one, you make the trip to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. You say to yourself, of course, I have to have beer. I want to go to the place that has the best selection of imports, domestics, and microbrews. That's Brewers Outlet. Best selection of snacks. They roast their peanuts every day. Soft drinks, that's Brewers Outlet. And, of course, the pickle bar. And everyone knows this is the number one fan of the barrel pickles in America right here. That's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin today turned in the Kia Sorento. We'll talk about the vehicle exchange for Kevin and our great friends from Sunbury Motors. Again, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, the Nittany Lion basketball season does begin tonight, and then, of course, football tomorrow. Next half hour, we will talk with Harry Donahue, the play-by-play voice of Temple football. So let's go with what we have going on tonight. We have, of course, on 94KX, you'll hear Selins Grove and Jersey Shore for the district championship tonight. Ryan Brandt and, of course, the play-by-play of Pat O'Brien tonight on 94KX. That's because Bucknell basketball opens tonight as well with Doug Birdsong on Eagle 107. And, of course, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, you're going to hear Penn State basketball with the Nittany Lions taking on Morgan State this evening. Head basketball coach Patrick Chambers met with the media earlier this week, talked about how the preseason has gone.
Preseason is going terrific. We're healthy. We're getting better. Like I've said, we have a good mixture of veterans and youth. So it's definitely been a process, a learning environment. Older guys helping the younger guys, but I think it's been one of the better preseasons I've had since I've been here.
Have you figured out a starting five yet? Do you kind of have that?
We're going to have a healthy competition until the last day. We're getting close, though. We're getting close. I'm not ready to reveal.
Secret?
No, it's not a secret, but I'm not ready to reveal.
Pat, my mic's working. What about, do you kind of figured out a general how many guys you're going to use in a rotation type thing, or is that something that you kind of use the non-con to figure out who's ready to start?
You know, the last couple weeks, I've played 10, easy. But I think the non-conference is really going to tell, you know, our rotation and what everybody's confident with and what we all trust. I think that's the most important thing. You know, I feel like we should be able to go to our bench and get better. That's what I feel like. if we do this the right way. So it could be 8, it could be 9, it could be 10. But I think the non-conference is really going to determine that. And our friends in the striped shirts are also going to determine a lot of that as well, how deep we're going to go in the first and second half.
And you talked early in the preseason media day about DJ kind of being the guy then at the point. Has there been any different developments since then, or are you still looking at it kind of the same way you were then?
You know, I'm a big film watcher, as you know, and I'm huge on statistics and the analytics piece of the game. I'm still looking at it to make sure what makes us the best team, and what's going to give us the most success throughout the game. There's definitely going to be times and good chunks of time that he will play the point. I'm just not dead set on saying that he's going to start that way. We'll look at it this week a little bit further, look at some plus minuses like they do in hockey, and we'll try to put together the best five that will, again, give us the best chance.
Coach, you know, around this time of year, a lot of list predictions, all that stuff kind of comes out. And, you know, for the guys that watch the team regularly, you know, it seems like DJ Newbill hasn't really been on a lot of, like, the kind of national list, not a lot of the Big Ten lists, which is kind of surprising for a guy that was second in the Big Ten. Do you feel like for, like, the outside, people that don't really see this team a lot, he's kind of underrated?
Man, I'd love to answer that in a totally different way. DJ definitely is underrated, and I think it's a good thing because that's going to continue to make him hungry and really get after it. Not that he wouldn't anyway. I think some of these guys, when they're preseason All-American, preseason first team, there's an added pressure and added stress. I don't think he needs that, so he doesn't feel that added piece, which is a good thing. But I think it's easy for national sports writers just to talk about the Blue Bloods, because I guess that's they're driving their website or their Twitter accounts and whatever. So why would you put up a guy from Penn State? So it's disappointing, obviously, for us, because he deserves to be on or at least mentioned in some of these, top 100 or top, preseason all Big Ten. But again, I think DJ's okay with it. He's secure with who he is. And he's just going to go out and do what he did last year.
Sure. And then, you know, you can always go to him for scoring. We've seen that the past couple of years. Brandon Taylor contributed at times. But for a team that has struggled to shoot in the past, what players have you seen kind of step up? Or has there been any players that have stepped up and really made strides offensively in this preseason?
Yeah, we're shooting at a very good clip right now. I mean, obviously we've worked on our shooting all summer, all fall. It's definitely been something that's put in the practice plan immediately. But Brandon Taylor shooting at a high clip. Shep Garner is shooting at a very high clip. Obviously, DJ is as well. Peyton Banks, John Johnson. So it presents a problem for our opponents. If we can get off to a good start and our guys could, you know, have pretty good percentages from three. But the other thing we're working on is uncontested ones. I think the last few years we've taken some tough ones, some contested ones, not great ones. So we can get away from those. I think percentages will go up. So we've worked on our passing, which is leading up to the shot. We've worked on our prep work, which is our footwork leading up to the shot. So little things like that I think will be beneficial for our guys.
You mentioned the guys in the striped shirts earlier. Last year, your guys had some trouble adjusting to the new emphases, and you could make some corrections for that during the season, but how did you handle that during the off season and the preseason in terms of what you stressed and how you want your guys playing defense within the confines of the
team? It's a great question, and I did something this year that I haven't done as a head coach. We had officials every Saturday for the last 6 weeks. Yeah, give or take, 6 weeks. We practiced for 4 or 5 days scrimmage. Practice four or five days scrimmage. So we can get a better idea of how many, we're playing hard, but we're playing hard and fouling, which kind of negates you playing hard. So we're trying to get away from that. We don't want to be the first one to let the opponent into the one-on-one or the double bonus. So I see us getting better. The last couple weeks, you had an assortment of refs from all over the country, different leagues. It wasn't as great as I thought it would be because of what we did the prior 4 weeks. But it's a work in progress. But it's something that we're working on, playing hard without fouling.
How valuable is that not only for the DJs and Rosses who have seen that line kind of move, but also for the Sheps and the new guys who are coming in and they don't know what the line is at all?
Now, you're exactly right. I mean, last year, you're dead on. We had to adjust in the beginning of a 10-game stretch. That's hard to do. I mean, it cost us games. But now we're more prepared and ready to go, and we understand what they're looking for or what the point of emphasis is.
And that's the important part in this, is that last year the game was called a certain way up through about, I'd say, right past December 15th, right around January 1st, then it changed again. And that was a problem. Penn State had trouble adjusting to that last year as to how they wanted to play and how the game was called. And this year, by bringing in officials, now he had them brought in from all conferences. You know what's interesting is that the game is not called the same across the country. Because if you go out, and this is somebody who's broadcast a lot of games across the country, you go out to the West Coast, for example, and it's a Pac-12 game. Pac-12 officials are finesse officials, as opposed to the power officials that you see in the Big Ten. So the games are called differently depending on the region of the country you go to. And Penn State will open tonight with Morgan State at the Jordan Center. And we'll have more with Patrick Chambers tonight on the pregame show. I'll sit down one-on-one with him beginning at 6:30 this evening as the Nittany Lions raise the curtain on the 2014-2015 basketball season. He talked about the depth on the team. DJ Newbill, Geno Thorpe, Donovan Jack, Ross Travis, Brandon Taylor. In all likelihood, that'll be the starting five. Then what do you bring off the bench? Shep Garner is a good feel. Natural instinct to play the point. They can take DJ Newbill and move him off the ball when Shep Garner is in the game. He'll be able to play. Devin Foster will be able to play. And then you add in John Johnson, who can give you some instant offense off the bench. And also Julian Moore and Peyton Banks. Two guys a lot of people have not really talked about. Julian Moore is a 6'11 kid. And Banks is 6'6". Banks, a good outside shooter. He's a good three-point shooter. Not a great three-point shooter, but he's a good three-point shooter. He can give them something off that wing and in the corner off the bench. And he's 6'6". I mentioned Moore at 6'11". One thing that happened with the two of them last year is Banks and Moore, because they were redshirting, were in the weight room 4 days a week last season. It has paid incredible dividends for them starting this year. Julian Moore is far stronger this year than he was last year when he played briefly at the beginning of the season before he got hurt. And then was able to get a medical redshirt out of it. But he was long and very lean last year. Well, this year he has some muscle definition to him, and Peyton Banks came in with muscle definition to begin with and has been able to enhance that. And they will help and give Penn State the depth that he is talking about. And Isaiah Washington as well has the ability to play, although Isaiah Washington, what will help him? Hitting the weight room is going to be very important for him because he has a nice game. Now he has to add to that frame in order to get himself more of a, quote, Big Ten type of body. All right, so that's the setup for the season. And Kevin Motmany, of course, and Alan Wisniewski, two very important players in all this. Every program needs players like that. That's coming up tonight, 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime, 5 o'clock on Sunday with Fordham with 4:30 the airtime. Dick Girardi will join me once again this season, as there is no announcer in the country that is a better situation than me between Jack Ham on football and Dick Girardi on basketball. It is a stunning embarrassment of riches for me with the people I get to work with. And that includes you, Kevin. He's blushing. All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. We're transitioning to the bottom of the hour. That means news coming up in a few moments here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And in the next half hour, we will go from basketball to football as we do things in chronological order, since there's basketball tonight and football tomorrow. We'll talk with Harry Donahue, the play-by-play voice of Temple football, coming up after the news at the bottom of the hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back on this Friday. Tonight, Penn State basketball at the Bryce Jordan Center. 7 o'clock, the tip-off, 6:30, the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And don't forget, you can hear Sealands Grove's district championship game at Jersey Shore tonight on 94KX. With Pat O'Brien, Ryan Brandt this evening, and Bucknell basketball tonight with Doug Birdsong will be on Eagle 107 this evening. And then, of course, tomorrow, Bucknell football as well on the road at Holy Cross tomorrow at Fitton Field. Meanwhile, for us on News Radio 1070 WKOK, it's going to be basketball, football, basketball over the next 3 days. Tonight, Penn State basketball at 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime. Dick Girardi joins me at the Bryce Jordan Center for the broadcast. Tomorrow, Penn State football at Beaver Stadium. Jack Hamm, Lauren Crispell joining me for the broadcast with Roger Corey, Jeff Tarman at Beaver Stadium as Penn State takes on Temple. Noon the kickoff, 10:30 the airtime for the Deaton Watson tailgate show. We'll get to that game in a few moments with Harry Donahue, the play-by-play voice of Temple football. And next half hour, by the way, we'll hear from Dave Revson from Big Ten Network. And Sunday, the Nittany Lion basketball team, game two of the season when they take on Fordham at the Bryce Jordan Center at 5 o'clock. Dick Girardi and I will be on the air beginning at 4:30 Sunday afternoon. So it's a football, it's a basketball, football, basketball weekend here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend. It's going to be in the 30s, for goodness sakes. The desire to go outside is going to be minimal. Thus, you want to make sure you are fully stocked and ready to go. Make that trip to Brewers Outlet this evening. Imports, domestic, microbrews. Did I mention beer? Yeah. Great selection. Corey and the gang just have a great, great selection over at Brewers Outlet. Soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts every day. The pickle bar is second to none. And again, it's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You can stock up and watch every college football game tomorrow. Stock up, watch all the NFL games, including the Eagles and the Packers, which is the Fox feature game of the week at 4:25 on Sunday. Steelers play Monday night against the Tennessee Titans. And, of course, I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Vehicle exchange day for Kevin. We will talk about that a little bit later. All right, Temple football. Temple comes in with a 5-4 record, like Penn State. The outstanding play-by-play voice of Temple football and men's basketball is Harry Donahue. My friend, it is great to hear you again.
Steve, it's always a pleasure to be talking to you, and I hope that forecast is going to change quickly.
Sunny on Saturday, but
I got to work Dean DeVore over a little bit.
That's right. You're going to have to do that. And, we'll get it. The heating system's great. They've put an ash can in your booth for Paul Palmer and yourself. It should be good.
Oh, an ash can. Okay. That's good. Maybe we can get something to put in there and light it up.
I gotcha. Matt Rhule, of course, comes back in here. It's interesting to watch coaches mature as they go along. And, of course, he'd been the coordinator, did not go with Al. Al didn't take him down to Miami. Then, of course, he went to the Giants briefly. What's it meant to get him back, and how have you seen him mature as a coach?
Well, Matt is, in his late 30s now, and this is his second year as a head coach. And what he brings, I think, to the program, in addition to having been exposed to a lot of great coaches, both as a player and also as an assistant, is a great deal of enthusiasm. And I think he's a great evaluator of talent. It's still, I think, a process that he's learning on the job a lot, Steve. And that means, sometimes you're not always going to make the right decision. But Matt, I think his biggest attribute is his enthusiasm. He's a tireless recruiter. He knows, obviously, the area well that he's recruiting in, the footprint, and they want to attract kids. And he has a nice resume for a guy who's only 38 years old.
Right. Defensively, what have you seen in the defense that's allowed them to be so effective and keep them essentially in every game?
Well, they have made unbelievable strides compared to a year ago. I mean, Temple last year lost so many games in the fourth quarter. This year, last week, too, we lost on a play that came down to the final field goal on the final play of the game to lose to Memphis. And the biggest strides have been in terms of everybody getting a little bit better at their position, bringing in some people that weren't here last year or didn't play last year, and then just a solid core. The linebacker, Tyler Matakevich, I think, is, and you know, and I don't just say this because he's a Temple guy. I think he's week in, week out, as good a linebacker as you're going to see in college football. He's a virtual unknown coming out of high school. He was recruited out of Connecticut. Steve Adazio actually brought him in, not knowing what to expect. And he has turned into the biggest and most pleasant surprise probably of any Temple recruit in the last 3 or 4 years, without a doubt. Another kid who has stepped up his game, he didn't play for the last 2 years, and this is a great human interest story, praise Martin Ogwike. He's a defensive end,
right?
6'2", 250 pounds, leads the team in sacks, is a disruptive force along the lines of Muhammad Wilkerson, who you're familiar with, of course, from his days at Temple, now at the New York Jets, and Terrence Knighton and guys like that that Temple has had at the defensive line and moved on to the next level. But Praise's story is unique simply because he was thrown out of school 2.5 years ago when he was accused of a sexual assault. It turned out, just as the trial was about to begin, that the charges were dropped when it became apparent to the prosecutor, based on evidence, that his accuser had lied and falsely accused him of that. Can you imagine what that's like for a 20-year-old kid to be faced with possibly going to jail for 30, 40 years, having his whole life basically ended over a false accusation?
Right.
To his credit, he came back, and this year is his first year on the field in 2 years. And I think he's already been twice the defensive player of the week in the American Athletic Conference, and he's a sure shot to make second-team all-conference, if not first-team all-conference, at the end of the season.
The 25 takeaways by the defense. I know they have the 8 interceptions. I also know they haven't had one in the last 5 games. But the 17 fumble recoveries, discuss, as you and Paul Palmer watch this, how effective they are at stripping the football.
Well, there's a lot of gang tackling going in, and until that whistle blows, you see a lot of guys just reaching and poking. You know how it is taught now. And Phil Snow, the defensive coordinator, stresses that on every practice play. And in game time situations, this is the way these kids go after the ball. And, it's an amazing stat. I think I heard James Franklin the other day in his news conference say it's like off the charts, and it is. And it has led to so many either touchdowns directly, because the defense, I think, has scored 6 touchdowns themselves, either on interceptions or on fumble returns, but also set up the offense with good field position a number of times. It's just one of those things that Phil Snow, the coordinator, took a lot of heat here last year for the way his teams were performing. One of the things that he has stressed this year, and it's one of those things that they've been able to execute.
I mean, no question. P.J. Walker, quarterback. Interesting in watching him play. Most guys take the ball and shotgun, and they'll go back a couple steps or else they'll stay in the same spot. He'll take it, and he'll drop even deeper. What does that allow him to do when that happens?
Well, P.J. came here. He was recruited heavily by Rutgers because he was the New Jersey Player of the Year his senior season when he led Elizabeth High School to the state championship. And Rutgers told him he would be an athlete there. And Matt Rhule, who had just gotten the job, said, P.J., you'll be my quarterback when you come here. I can't tell you how soon, but you'll be a quarterback. That's why he landed here at Temple. And a lot of people are surprised that he came here based on the fact that he was such an outstanding high school player, but it was mainly the mistake, I guess, of the Rutgers staff in not recognizing that. What he bring? He is a great athlete. This year, the problem has been the offensive line, because of either injuries or inexperience, has been the weakest link in Temple's offense. He's been sacked 16 times. When you look at him, Steve, there's no reason for P.J. to be sacked that many times in 9 games because he can be a very elusive runner. His problem, one of the problems he's had, is he's not a great passer when it comes to scrambling around looking downfield. The other bigger problem is he doesn't have the receivers that are able to get open when a situation like that crops up. A guy last year, like P.J., who didn't get on the field until about the 4th or 5th game, was a receiver by the name of Robbie Anderson.
Right.
And Robbie Anderson, in a very short period of time, had like 9 touchdowns over the last 5 or 6 games of the season. Unfortunately for him and Temple, academically, he was not able to come back.
And, of course, we're with Harry Donahue, the play-by-play voice of Temple football, as we talk with him about the game and quarterback P.J. Walker. Jalen Fitzpatrick may or may not be able to play in this game on tomorrow against Penn State. Fitzpatrick got hurt in that game against Memphis last week, as a matter of fact. And when he got hurt, he had to be carried by his teammates off the field, not putting any weight at all on his leg going into that. And that, of course, is a problem that Temple has to deal with heading into this game as to whether or not they're going to have him for this game or not. So we'll see about that going in, because Fitzpatrick, a former quarterback out of the Harrisburg area, has been the top receiver. He's had 37 catches so far this year for Temple and has been the primary target for P.J. Walker. And
offense this season, the deep threat that Robbie Anderson posed to opposing defenses, which also, in addition to just making him difficult to cover, opened up a lot with the running game. Teams this year are not facing an offense that has that deep threat. Jalen Fitzpatrick, nice wide receiver, but not the receiver that Robbie Anderson was. And as a result, teams are able to really focus on your running game and try to shut it down. So, you know, we don't even know if Jalen's going to play this week. And he got hurt and did not play last week. And this week, I think he's a huge question mark. And that's going to be a big problem for Temple's offense.
They did get a big run out of Kenneth Harper last week that allowed him to crack 100. And Jahad Thomas has had some moments. But what I've noticed is the number of 100-yard receiving games that they have. How effective is he been in dumping the ball off the backs and letting them get some things done in space?
Well, they've done a real good job on some screen passes. I don't mean necessarily the wide receiver screens that you see a lot in these spread offenses now. But, I mean, dumping it off to Jahad Thomas in the backfield or behind a 2 or 3 linemen and, you know, taking it 64, 65 yards. He did that twice in one game this season already. And Thomas and P.J. know each other because they were teammates on that Elizabeth team that won the state title.
Right.
Another very successful play, and I'm sure I'm not giving any secrets to anybody up there who may be listening from the Penn State coaching staff. It has been a throwback pass where P.J. will roll right, stop, and then look back all the way on the other side of the field. And a couple times he's hooked up to twice with Jamie Gilmore, the other back in the three-headed running attack for Temple. Last week against Memphis, they tried it again, and this time he dropped it and would have been a touchdown.
Right.
So there are plays that you know that have worked very well. The screen to the back or the throwback to the back. Fitzpatrick also, you know, he was quarterback in Harrisburg, and only once this year have they used him where he goes in motion and takes a toss, stops, and then either throws back to PJ or looks downfield for a fellow wide receiver. Like I say, he's a question mark, and he is a big, very big part of their passing game this year. This week, of course, with him not there, that's going to mean they're going to have to really count on somebody like John Christopher or somebody else. And the receivers last week, they dropped five balls last week against Memphis. That game should have been over at the end of the first quarter. It was 10-0, and PJ threw an interception at Memphis's 11-yard line. And the whole game turned on that play, and of course they eventually won it on a field goal for the final play of the game.
Right. Has the American given Temple stability across the board as a landing spot?
I'm not sure. You know, if you look at the geographical area of the American Athletic Conference, and it's virtually almost, you know, it's three-quarters of the country. I mean, there's no other conference that has the footprint that the American has.
That's why it's the American. It takes up all of America.
Exactly. You know, funny story. I don't know if you have time to listen.
Oh, yeah.
One of the reasons when they were, of course, had to come up with a new name for the conference, a Temple official told me one of the reasons they settled on American Athletic Conference is that alphabetically, you know how USA Today will list every week during the football and basketball seasons, the conferences?
Yes.
Well, they wanted to be ahead of the ACC, so they went AAC. That's a true story. I don't know if you get anybody in Providence or wherever the illegal offices are now, but that was one of the reasons why they went AAC. I don't know if it's meant anything or not. Get back to your point. In terms of, like, recruiting, you know, I think all these schools, be it Tulsa or South Florida or SMU, Memphis, whoever, Temple, they still have their regions of influence, you know, that they're going to concentrate on to recruit. And for Temple, I mean, Al Golden, you know, when he was here, said he wanted to go from Connecticut, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware, Maryland, maybe a little bit of Virginia because he had ties down there, too. So we're not going to be getting kids from Ohio or beyond and down south into North Carolina or Florida. But this is still, as you know, as Penn State fans know, very ripe area for football talent. There's plenty of it to be had from the state of New Jersey and eastern central Pennsylvania. And, heck, the last two coaches we've had have come from central Pennsylvania. So can't be doing anything too bad, right?
No. In fact, I believe Matt's parents live a quarter mile from where I do, so.
There you go.
And
maybe there'll be a little cherry and white on their lawn this week. Huh?
I have a funny feeling it. Well, and it should be, too. That's their son.
His dad was a big football coach up there, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, when you – we know the Eagles own the town.
That's putting it mildly.
Mildly, yeah.
Especially this year.
How is Temple resonating there in a 65,000 seat stadium?
Well, it's tough. Of course, when you come down and look at it, it's always full, and that's going to be the case next year again. I think the season opens the very first weekend of the season at Lincoln Financial Field, and Notre Dame is also coming in. So, obviously, there are two dates that the stadium will be full. It's tough, Steve. I mean, you know, I don't care what league you're in. Back when we were in the Big East, of course, Lincoln Financial Field wasn't Temple's home, and that was part of the problem. We were shifting back and forth between Franklin Field some weeks or Veterans Stadium when the Phillies weren't playing there early in the season, and if they were, we had to move around. And that's why there's a lot of talk about building an on-campus stadium again. I mean, it's not the first time that idea has been kicked around. But the Eagles, you know, the rent that is charged Temple, it's a high number every week. And Temple, even, you know, when they do get a decent crowd there, has to share things like concessions and parking with the Eagles. So, you know, you can bring in here back in the day when Miami and Temple were in the same conference and Miami was playing for national championships, they'd still only attract, you know, 18,000, 22,000, 25,000 people. It's tough. And the coaching staff will tell you how tough it is if they bring a group of recruits in and they're playing a big conference game or even a big non-conference game. Penn State wouldn't fall into that category because that stadium's going to be full. But, you know, they bring them out, and the kids look up in the stands, and, you know, there's an awful lot of empty seats, and that's a little demoralizing. So will that ever change? Probably not in the environment, not in my lifetime. But it would be nice to see the city and the surrounding area kind of recognize, especially now that I think a guy like Matt Rhule, you know, he's not looking for another job. And goodness knows, if he does put together a couple winning seasons, it'll be tough to keep him. It'll be nice to see this city, which is, as you said, a big football city, sort of recognize that once in a while. I don't know what the answer is. God knows I've struggled for, you know, 25, 30 years when it comes to Temple football, trying to find an answer to it. And better minds than mine have, too. And we keep coming up with the same results.
Harry, always a pleasure. Can't wait to see you here on Saturday.
Yeah, I'll be arriving around 1 a.m. At the Ramada after an opener tomorrow night, basketball against American U.
All right, Harry, appreciate it very much. Harry Donahue, play-by-play voice, Temple football. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. News top of the hour in a few moments here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.